One of the gems we have in our community is the crisis response team. And over the past couple of years, it had been funded through grants from Lane County. And recently, I heard that the grants were ending and they would not be continuing. Matt House is here. He's the deputy chief of operations for Western Lane Fire and EMS Authority, but has a little bit of knowledge and background with Western Lane Ambulance and the crisis response team. And your wife, Mel House, is the director of it.
Yep, that's correct. Melissa is.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, you know, when this all came together as far as bringing the crisis response team in the current form that we have it today.
It's been a process. It was actually about 5 years ago we all got together looking at how can we provide a better crisis team to our system. We met and we developed a mobile integrated healthcare, the community paramedic, which is a very similar model. So they actually included me into some of the talks to get the program up and running. It was the City of Florence, us, Peace Health, all got together with Kathy Smith, which is the main program manager assistant, where she actually is contract for services, and we work with her, and she helps get some grants for us. So we all met together, streamlined it, got together, worked through the program, and how can we make this work? Working with the police that we would, you know, send out our crews of group of two to these calls of mental distress or crisis and work through these calls. Got the program up and running. There's certain standards by state Oregon Health Authority that you have to have two responders on each call, or, you know, they don't meet the funding requirements. So we are, over the last 2 to 3 years, we've been able to do that with funding from grants, pass-through funding grants through Oregon Health Authority through Lane County, and we get that pass-through funding, which has been kept keeping our program sustainable for the last 2 years. Unfortunately, that funding ended June 30th, and we're looking for alternative fundings to keep our program moving.
Now, how many, over the last several years, are you consistently going to calls on a month-to-month basis? I mean, about how many calls do you think that they answer over time?
It's really based on our seasonal as well. We see a spike during the summer, but they're averaging about 40 to 60 calls a month. So during the summer months, we've definitely seen them spike over 60 calls per month. You know, so that's averaging roughly 2 to 3 a day. But that's not how our system works. It could be 7 or 8 in a day and then nothing, or maybe 1 or 2 in a day. So, but the average is about 40 to 60 per month.
So trying to impress upon folks the importance of this, I mean, because people going through mental, emotional distress, having, you know, really rough times, you know, a lot of us, we don't see that, you know, we don't see that going on. And this is happening, you know, behind closed doors a lot of times. And the police might be called into something, realizing it's an issue, bringing the CRT team with them. Talk about the importance of the work that they do.
I don't think you can talk to the importance of it. I mean, fire EMS in the public sector, we're not trained to deal with mental crisis. Our mechanisms in the EMS is, oh, you're having a bad day mentally, we'll take you to the hospital and get you treatment. Police are, oh, you're having a bad day, what can we do to assist you, you know, other than take you to the prison cell, you know? And sometimes that does happen, unfortunately, because their mental crisis is elevated so high. This team does is come in and diffuse a situation that none of us are really accustomed to dealing with in fire, EMS, or public sector in general. Come in and diffuse the situation, get them the resources that are needed, do follow-up afterwards, do interventions afterwards, and connect them with resources that they can that are needed for them to get through their bad time. I can speak to the personal component, fire and EMS. It's very beloved to us when they come out in a cardiac arrest situation that maybe went to termination that we called, you know, the efforts of the code because we couldn't resuscitate them. They come in and they take care of the family. You know, those are the patients now. They come in that scenario and they relieve the EMS fire where they're the advocacy of the patients and taking care of the family that's remaining behind, getting them additional resources, making phone contacts to their family members. I mean, that's a huge loss to our organization, us personally, if we don't have this continue.
And again, you said, you know, in an average 40 plus calls a month, summertime could be 60 or more. So this is really something that on an ongoing basis, this fills a very important need in the community.
Oh, absolutely. It's become that. Yeah.
What type of funding was required in order to keep this operational?
So there's been recent OHA, well, and I would say recent, but as they're developing this at the federal level to the state level to the county levels, there's been changes in how this program gets implemented. And then in order for us to continue, we would have to meet a COA requirement, which is a certificate of authority that we can bill Medicaid. In order to get a COA, it's very difficult to obtain in a smaller town like us. I mean, in Eugene, Springfield, the more metropolis area, they have more resources to pull from to get this. And there isn't a mechanism or work through it now between the state to lower levels of the government to make this happen right now. And that's what we're trying to advocate and work for.
Is this a volunteer operation? Is it a paid operation for the ones that are going to the responding to the?
It's a mixed. Yeah, we have a current model right now. We have 4 full-time employees, a handful of part-time, and I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head. And we do have some what we call reserves that actually just go out on calls, and they're paid by stipend because it's like a volunteer for them. But we try to stipend them for their time.
Is there a way for the community to help with support on this? Is that something that can be done, or does this have to come through federal grant money and stuff like that and state grant money in order to be to continue?
I think it's in order for us to sustain it has to be all of it. I mean, we need the national funding to come through the state and the mechanisms that are in place to get the pass through money through the county. And we're working very diligently and hard to get to those points. But then we've also created an association where we can get donations and, you know, do fundraising events to help us, you know, get more money into the funding, get more funding into the program to, you know, make it more sustainable. That is one of the big things. If the community is looking for, you know, ways to support it, you know, funding is huge, like in everything, you know, whatever you can do to help, you know, give into our Western Lane Fire and EMS Authority Crisis Response Team Association. There's an association that's been developed, and it's 501c3 set up where it's completely, and all that money would go back into the program to run it.
Because I know, like, for example, this is the time of year when we were talking about LifeMed and that program there. Is there a way to do it sort of like that where everybody can kind of sign up for it, pay an annual due, and then that goes to the crisis response team on more of a local level?
That's not a bad idea. We haven't looked at it, setting it up that way, but that's something that we should maybe entertain if we have a subscription. LifeMed, as we know, is a subscription service for service provided for EMS, that maybe that's something that we could look at, you know, as a, you know, funding gap mechanism.
Because for an individual, it's a small cost. And if it's never needed by them, then that's great. If not, somebody else gets the benefit of that down the road. What are some of the ways that the CRT works other than responding to calls? Do they do any, like, behind-the-scenes work? I know you said follow-up is one of the things.
Well, follow-up is key. And by Oregon statute, they have to have any interactions that they go out onto, they have to have follow-up within, I believe, 72 hours. And that follow-up, you know, was having that phone contact or in-person contact and then seeing what other needs, additional needs may be needed for them. And that's all documented and sent into a program software where, you know, the state and county are evaluating it. It's also part of a federal grant that we have that I should probably include that we do have a federal grant called SAMHSA grant, and I can never remember the actual acronym for name for it. And that is some funding that we have to help us through some of this troubled period. But the follow-up is key, is a huge part of their time is devoted to it. And we actually have the SAMHSA grant, why I brought it in, is to have 3 follow-up full-time positions. So when we go out in response, these follow-up personnel can actually do all the follow-ups behind, get them the resources they needed, having one-on-one conversations, help, you know, continue that de-escalation that from initial point of crisis and after the crisis.
What's the annual cost? I mean, what's the annual budget for the CRT program?
Yeah, don't quote me.
Okay, in a roundabout way.
Yeah, a roundabout way. I think the numbers were close to $300,000 a year to sustain us.
Will this continue in some form if the full amount is not being able to fund, or is it going to go away altogether if we don't come up with the
our goal is for it not to go away. You know, our goal is to keep this. We don't have a good picture in the lens of how this looks right now as we continue forward with it. Funding, as we know, is crucial for anything. And it's very difficult when you have a program that's just strictly grant funded to have sustainability. That's why we're trying to get that COA so we can bill Medicaid. Then we continue to have funds going into the program. Our outlook, yes, we'll have a program, but we're not sure exactly how that looks on response right now. I mean, do they respond to fire and EMS only because it's been supported for Westland Fire and EMS Authority? Does it go out on crises with police officers? Does it go to the hospital? We don't exactly have a full picture on how that will look in the future yet.
But in a normal situation, it would be all of those, right?
Yeah.
Go out
right.
with police, go out with fire and EMS, stop by the hospital.
Yep.
You know, work with families in crisis in the case of a death of someone in the family, elevated situation at home, an argument, a fight, or something like that. They might be called in to kind of calm that situation down.
Yeah, and I'd add that the advocacy that we're getting from Peace Health in the city of Florence has been very supportive. They're working with their lobbyists, their people, trying to get additional funding with us as well. We don't have anything set in stone, but we're hopeful that we're going to get some other revenue from those other agencies to keep this program that we've made somewhat sustainable moving forward to provide the service that we do for the community.
What kind of community response have you gotten from the work done specifically from the families that have been helped in that?
Out of everything, I have not heard one negative thing ever come out of this. And I'm the guy that gets the complaints and, you know, mediates them and try to, you know, troubleshoot and what is a problem solve, anything that comes up. I've heard nothing come through for this. It's always been positive. I can tell you from firsthand experience being on cardiac arrest scenes, again, back to that, that it's just phenomenal when they come in. They're like little angels taking care of the family members in that scenario.
And I'm guessing because of budgetary constrictions, there's not any extra money with Western Lane Fire and EMS Authority to help put toward this, right? Because that's pretty tight.
Yeah. Oh, of course, we operate off a tight budget just as anybody does in the public sector. There's some wiggle room, but our wiggle room is, you know, a few months, not a sustained
right.
years.
Wouldn't keep it going for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
How can people find out more? How can people, you know, donate or participate in this to keep this program going?
Well, currently, we're looking for part-time responders and full-time advocates, most that have live-in experience with mental health and substance abuse. It can be based on your experience with friends or family. Training on the job is always provided with us as well. You can go to Western Lane Fire and EMS Authority website, which is WLFEA.org, and fill out an application and talk to the program manager, Melissa House, and she can give you more information onto that. And then with the Western Lane Crisis Association is always looking for additional board members, and the association was created hopefully to someday to help ensure sustainability to the Wilker program. And again, Wilker is the Western Lane Crisis Response. Throughout our community, we're looking to do fundraisers, grant opportunities, and events to help generate more revenue for sustainability through the association. So we're not always dependent on federal or state grants that at any time, as we're finding out that, you know, that funding can be pulled and we're kind of left in, now what do we do?
And I think most people will know that if this were to go away, it would be missed. You may not think right now, you may not think about it much on a day-to-day basis. You know, you may not think about what's the crisis response team doing today, but were they not there, you would notice their absence.
I always kind of equate it to everything that I do in my job. You know, you may not need 911, but the time you do need 911, you want the most experienced, qualified people to take care of you. That's what the CR team, that's what we developed. They come out and they do exactly what they need to do to de-escalate the crisis, work with their people in the public sector, work with the individuals that's in crisis, and then do that follow-up, which is so crucial to get them the necessary treatments or it could be as much as a sleeping bag that's causing the crisis, you know, and mitigating that so that they're in a happy place and they can move on in life and enjoy life like we all do.
Yeah. Matt House, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Hour two, we'll talk with the Texas 4000, some cybersecurity, and the Miss Oregon Teen USA on the July edition of Our Town.